We do have several prayer requests, Larry. This first one is for J.W. Little. We prayed for him a couple of days ago. He's still in the hospital with COVID. Yes. He had a doctor's appointment Monday to see his oncologist at Mercy in Oklahoma City, and they found that he had COVID. And Michelle said he really hadn't felt good for several days, but he's just had recently been through a move and, you know, life kind of upside down right there. And so he just thought it was part of that. But he has COVID. Plus, they found a spot that they, not on his lungs, it's on, I forgot exactly what it's called, but something in there. And they're doing a biopsy on that. And so they did that yesterday, but he didn't have the results yet. And then we want to pray for the Gary Pig family. And this is Liz that worked at the Penny News, or works at the Penny News. It's her husband. And he passed away last night after a long battle with ESRD, which is end-stage renal disease. And I know he had to do dialysis. I think they did it at home some. He'd been sick a long time. So he's, as she said, you know, he's in no more pain. So we want to remember the Gary Pig family. And then we want to pray for the Betty Davis family. And then the last prayer request we have at this moment is to pray for Mignon Sayre, who's having a biopsy on her bladder today. We're just going to pray for a negative result on that. And so there's our starting list.
Betty lived right around the corner from me. And I was coming by there the morning she passed. And I wasn't thinking about she would know, but there's all the kids was there. And I kind of recognized her daughter. But I pulled up there to block the road and my pickup kind of jumped out and ran over. And I said, now, does Betty need some backup?
Oh.
Bill got her outnumbered out here.
Yeah, yeah.
Said, no, she don't need any backup. She's with Jesus.
Oh.
So I felt about this.
Sure.
She hugged my neck. Yeah. I hugged her neck. And I love Betty Davis. She was a sweet lady.
Yeah.
And she honestly, truly had Betty Davis eyes.
I see. But when did she pass? Just a couple of days ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Probably Tuesday morning.
I see.
Daytime gets by, don't
it? Yes, it does. Time flies when you're having fun, even if you're not.
Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we do come before you and thank you and praise you that no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what our situation is, Lord, you're there with us. You promise never to leave us nor forsake us. Lord, you're able to heal the blind. You're able to raise the lame. You raise the dead. And Lord, you're going to raise all of those that believe in you and live for righteousness to righteousness one of these days. You're going to raise them, open them graves. Lord, there's nothing. You're the great physician. So, Lord, we lift to you today, J.W. I pray, Father, you heal his body. Just continue to draw him to yourself. I pray you speak to his heart, Lord, that, and remind him that you love him and that you're going to take care of him. But, Lord, I just pray for healing and be with his family. Lord, I pray for Gary Pig's family. Pray, Lord, for comfort. I just thank you and praise you, Lord, that he is completely healed. And, Lord, his family knows that he's not in pain and he's not suffering anymore. Lord, and I thank you for that hope. The same for Betty Davis's family. Lord, she was such a godly lady. She loved you with all of her heart. She loved people. She never wanted to quit. But, Lord, she's with you now, and we thank you and praise you, Lord, for that. Lord, I pray for Mr. Mignon Sayre.
Mignon Sayre.
Mignon Sayre. Okay. The Lord knows who
the Lord knows how to pronounce it.
Yes, he does. But she's having a biopsy on her bladder. Lord, we pray. We do pray that, Lord, it's not cancer. Pray that it is cancer-free. But, Lord, if it is, we know you can heal her. And we just leave her in your hands. Pray for her family that be with her as well. Lord, there's just so many around us that are hurting and need healing. Lord, there's so many. I pray for the healing of their bodies. But, Lord, I pray they'd come to know you as Lord and Savior and to know that there is hope in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We do want to hear from our sponsors now in Prophetic Voice Ministries at 616 North Locust Avenue. Is one of our sponsors. Apostle Casey Elliott will share a great word with you. They have Sunday school at 9:30 on Sunday morning, church at 11, church again at 6 on Sunday evening, and then they have a prayer service on Tuesday evening at 7 and Bible study on Thursday evening at 7. Joshua's Crossing Ministries right here in the Promise Center, 321 North Main, has been one of our sponsors for some time now. Continue to keep Les in your prayers as he's still sorting through the loss of his precious wife, Donna. And then the Refuge Church, which is a non-denominational church, is west of Sayre on Highway 152, 3 miles from downtown Sayre, Oklahoma on 152. And it's a building on the west side of the road. And no, it's on the east side of the road, I believe, excuse me. And it's in a barn, but don't let that deceive you. There's a beautiful little church inside that barn. They have Sunday school at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Sunday worship is at 10:45. Then they have Bible study at 6 o'clock in the evening on Sunday. Wednesday evening, they have Bible study at 7, and they have a youth group at 7. Powerhouse Tammy Bailey is the pastor there. If you would like more information, you can call her at 729-0956. Now let's hear from some of our other sponsors.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction locks and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Love your ride today at Bardice and Ford of Elk City, Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters. We know that loving your ride means taking care of it. Our service team is here to keep your vehicle running its best, from oil changes to tires and everything in between. With the largest team of certified technicians in Western Oklahoma, let us show your ride some love today. Come experience the Bardice and difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service only at BardiceandFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. I need to do the right thing. The challenge is finding out what that thing is. This is where you develop habits. Good habits produce good results. They're not dependent on what somebody else thinks or even what you think at the time. When you find the right thing, make it a habit.
We are back. This is the Hour of Power. Pastor Larry Parvin is our guest today. Rick Spain Construction out of Weatherford is our Facebook sponsor. Larry's bringing us a down-to-earth message backed by Scripture about how God can be the glue, is the glue in our life, how He can fix anything, how we can soar no matter how low we've been. We can still, when we give it to the Lord, we can soar again.
Making a vessel. The vessel was marred, and then we've all been messed up. We've all can be. There is hope. There is restoration. And but then notice too, as we think about this, as we read that this vessel that was marred, we talked that he didn't throw it away, and I just dawned on me again as I read this. Notice this, but the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled, it was marred in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel. Did you hear that? Mm-hmm. He never left his hand. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, those that my Father have given me, no man, my I and my Father are one, nobody. Nothing can pluck you out of my Father's hands. What can separate us from the love of God in Romans 8? Neither height nor depth,
that's right,
nor length nor width, nor any other created thing. Remember a story of a Spaniard who was locked up in a cave to die during the Inquisition. Years later, they were excavating that cave, and they found his remains, just his skeleton laying in the floor. And but up on the wall, when they shined the light up on the side of that cave, he had drawn and scratched a cross in the side of that on the side of that cave, and he wrote above that cross, neither height nor depth, length, width, or just those four words. What was he saying? Not even death is going to separate me from my Lord and Savior, Jesus mm-hmm. Christ.
That's right.
We need to come to the place that in our life that we realize, and we talked about this last night at Main Street, that as we surrender to God, he's going to take, regardless of what happens to us today, even if I lose my head for preaching the gospel or being true to Christ, and it's happening every day in other countries, especially in Ukraine right now. They're over there because of the church. He wants to destroy a Christian nation. But for the minute my heart quits beating, I'm going to go be with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And up until that time, I want to make sure I'm right.
That's right.
And be allowing him to be molding and shaping me into what he wants me to be. And notice that it can be made a vessel again. He's remaking it into another vessel. And just some for instances on that. What did Peter mess up? Peter denied Christ three times, right?
Mm-hmm.
You remember in John 21:17, Jesus got Peter out there, met him on the beach, creek beach by himself, and he said, Peter, do you love me? Three times. And Peter, first two times it was, Peter, do you agape me? Do you agape me? But Peter was humbled by that. And then when Peter said, Lord, that last time, Lord, it broke his heart. And he said, Lord, you know that I phileo you. In other words, I'm not capable of that kind of love yet, but I'm going to allow you to teach me. I love you. You know all things. You know that I love you. How about old Doubting Thomas? Did he mess up?
He doubted. Yeah.
He said, I'm not going to believe unless I get to touch him and see him. Boy, they're in that room locked up, and Jesus just appears in the room, and the first one he goes to, this is one of the first meetings that Thomas was there with him. He just wouldn't believe, but Jesus said, come here, Thomas, and put your hand at my side. And look at these scars in my hand. What did Thomas say? My Lord and my God. Folks, there's restoration. God didn't give up on him. There was a, I can't remember who wrote this poem. I was going to remember, but I believe in the dawn. I want to read you this quote. Are you ready for this? You ask me what forgiveness is. I answer, it is the wonder of being trusted again by God in the place where I disgraced him. That's forgiveness. Peter, Thomas, but he has promised in Isaiah, I'm going to look up a few of the Isaiah, and it's about he's promised a restoration. Isaiah 58:12, that should just be a couple of pages back over here. Isaiah 58:12. God says, those, is that right? That I probably didn't write that down right. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. 61:4.
Was that Isaiah 58:12?
Yes.
Okay.
Then Isaiah 61:4. Of course, Jesus is. This is where Jesus. This is the passage Jesus read at Nazareth. I'm going to read these three verses.
Beginning with four.
Verse 1. I'm going to go ahead and read one. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, those who are captive to sin, and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort, all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities and the desolations of many generations. What's he talking about there in those passages of Scripture? He's talking about when people repent and return, there's respiration for the repentant. Mm-hmm. If we'll return in Joel chapter 2 and verse 25, one of these I thought was here. Then I will make up to you. Here it is. Ready? After their punishment, after their devastation, when they turn back to God, then I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping locust, the stripping locust, and the gnawing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat and be satisfied. He's going to restore all that was taken away from them. They just turn back to God. And over again, that cycle, especially in the Judges. We need to know. But in 2 Kings, to get there's a story in 2 Kings that is just very... let's see, where's Samuel? 2 Kings, the story of Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 19 is that water. Remember, the priest came to the water and the water wasn't any good. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho opposite him saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elisha." No, that's not the one. Where did I want up 19? Then here it is in the city, verse 19. If I've just read my notes. 2 Kings 2:19, then the men in the city said to Elisha, "Behold, now the situation of this city is pleasant, as the Lord sees, but the water is bad, and the land is unfruitful." The water was so bad that the ground was just not fruitful. He said, "Bring me a new jar, and put salt in it." And then they said to him, and that, so they brought it to him. I can't even read, can't even see. He went out to the spring of water and threw the salt in it and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have purified these waters. There shall not be from their death or unfruitfulness any longer." So the waters have been purified to this day according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. Those that you could say that spring of water is the spring of life. And didn't Jesus say that when you believe, there will be... It, from your inner being, I can't remember, it just popped in there, but I can't. From within you, there will be springs of living water coming up from amongst you. Be springs of living water. Mm-hmm. But I just want you to know, where did he throw the salt? He didn't throw it in the stream. Mm-hmm. He went back to the source of the stream. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Lord, and then he went out to the spring of the water, where the water was springing to the spring, and threw the salt in it, and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have purified these waters." And then so the waters have been purified to this day. Folks, that's a picture. That's the salt, if it be the Holy Spirit, the blood of Christ, creating in us a new heart. But you know, we point at the lives, the stream of water that comes from the source. He didn't throw that salt in that stream. He had to go back to the source. When we look at people with our attitudes, with our actions, is Jesus saying, "You'll know them by their fruits and what's coming out of their life"? The only answer to clear up what is going downstream in our lives is for the source of all that we... Where did Jesus say all this sin comes from? Adultery, murder, hateful, and meanness. It all comes from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the only cure for that heart is the blood of Christ Jesus shed on Calvary's cross by His love and His forgiveness so that we can be made pure again. And then, having been born again, then we bring forth those fruits that are worthy of repentance. Isn't that just an amazing promise?
It is.
This hope. 1 John 3:8, I wrote that down. I can't remember. I'm going to go over and look at it. 1 John 3:8.
Having a regular Bible drill this morning.
We're going to have a Bible drill. 1 John 3:8 is, the one who practices sin is of the devil. I think that's what I was thinking. That's 4. I don't even know how to read my Bible. I wouldn't do very good in the Bible drills. The one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose. This is why I chose this. Look at the last part of verse 8. To destroy the works of the devil. The devil is here to do what? Look around this world and we say, why is all this bad stuff happening?
Steal, kill, and destroy.
Why did God let that happen? I can't tell you how many times when there's an accident, when there's a death, there's people lost their homes up in Roger Mills County. But why did God, when a man and his wife were killed and two babies left behind with them, why did God allow that? Why does God always get the end of that? God didn't. God, who is it that came to steal, kill, and destroy, as you said? The devil. And why did Jesus come? To destroy the works of the devil. So how is it that we get involved in that? By coming to the one who came to shed His blood to redeem us out of the power and the presence and the punishment for sin, by His blood, filled us with His Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in the paths of righteousness so that we can bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. And God can use us, because look at the last part of this verse that we looked at in, we were in Jeremiah, the last part of that. Jeremiah 18, wasn't it? Look at the last part of this verse. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter, so he remade it into another vessel, and this is the last point, as it pleased the potter to make. Total surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ allows Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to be present and take up residence in our life. I don't care what these young whippersnappers say. Paul said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. You remember that being in the Bible somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Christ in me. And this guy even wrote a book. God, Jesus does not take up residence in our heart now. Go like this. He does not live in this little box.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, why would you write a book like that? Because Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But he said, it is the Holy Spirit that takes up residence in your life. I would just like for you to understand that when the Holy Spirit takes up the residence in your life, you have the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in your life because of His promise that I will never, that's just His promise. So why quibble over something like that when we need to just be telling people, hey, believe on the Lord, believe on, not just in, okay? I believe who the President of the United States is. I believe that is who he is, but I do not believe on him.
Right.
That's why the writer, whichever one said it, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's Paul, and you will be saved. That means put your life on him. Put your life on him. Trust him. Live for him. A life of total surrender is a life the Holy Spirit is searching for. God will not, and he cannot, pour out his Spirit and fill an unclean vessel. When I harbor sin in my life, and when I claim to be a born-again believer, and I go and live my life outside of the church or in claim to be a Christian and live for sin, we are disparaging the name of Almighty God. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes.
Because he has invested his character in us. And when I show to the world that I can be child, God of God's child, and still live in sin and hatefulness and meanness and evil and lust and all of that stuff, it's reflection on him. He's not going to do that. Sin, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, God told, Isaiah said, that your sins haven't separated between you and your God. Wait a minute. God's arm isn't shortened that he can't save, nor his ears deafened that he can't hear. He said your sin has separated between you and your God. Doesn't mean I'm going to lose my salvation, but I'm going to lose my blessing. He's going to turn his back. So we need to be seeking to be completely submissive to God. And just like Mary was a servant, just like me, she had relations with Joseph after Jesus was born. They had at least three or four sons and daughters, more daughters. But I can just see that young teenage girl holding up her hands. That's total surrender. When you, behold, a bond slave of the Lord, mm-hmm. be it unto me according to your word. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to put yourself out there for God and just say, Lord, here I am. Use me where you want me. Do what you want to do. And I'll guarantee you it'll blow us away what he's going to do.
Amen.
You want to be blessed? Give your life to Christ.
Amen. You want to pray to end us out?
Let's pray. That's time. Thank you, Father, for this time together. I pray that your word, I claim the promise that your word will not come back null and void. Lord, just erase anything of Larry and just take your word, Holy Spirit, and just apply it to the hearts and lives of all that are listening. And we're going to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts. But Lord, I pray for those hearts that are out there that are indecisive, Lord, that you would soften them and mold them, and that, Lord, they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You have been listening to The Hour of Power or watching The Hour of Power today, and I apologize for the issue we've had with our sound. It wasn't quite like it usually is, but we did have sound. You could hear it. You just maybe had to turn your iPad or your cell phone up a little bit. This is a great, great lesson that Larry brought us today.
It's my fault I have that kind of influence.
Oh, well, I doubt that it was your fault, but anyway, from me, Neva, from Monica, from Pastor Larry, have a blessed day. We'll see you in here tomorrow.
Let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.